WATD presents Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
If it's Monday night, it's got to be Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. So thanks for having me on.
Kevin, good for you to hold back and let him tell his story.
Putting the South Shore spin on politics, current events, and pop culture.
You guys are the center of the universe today, at least the political universe.
I believe both of you are from the area. Marshfield guys, yes, no?
Correct, yeah.
That's right.
There's only one person not from Marshfield in this room right now. That's you.
It's me. I'm the outcast.
Well, you've always been generous with the time. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I'm honored to be on your show tonight, Kevin, with that impressive lineup you have.
I believe our guest that we've been waiting for, Congressman Stephen Lynch.
Kevin, good to join you.
The governor of the Commonwealth,
very
Charlie
good.
Becky. You ready?
I got to tell you that it was really nice to hear Aerosmith on the intro there.
You're going
to
be the rock and roll governor?
I don't know about that, but
we have Mayor Joe Sullivan joining us. Sir, how are you?
Well, Kevin, very good to be with you again.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Drew, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Ming Tsai, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Massachusetts State Auditor Suzanne Bump. Hello, Auditor. How are you?
I am fine, and I'm delighted to be with you this evening.
And now, your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome and good evening. You are tuned in to Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD. And yes, the rumors are true. My name is Kevin Tachi, and I will be your host this evening. Well, just a quick, what we do during this little segment, this brief segment prior to traffic, is we give you kind of a rundown as to some of what you'll be tuning into this evening until 8 p.m. First hour of the radio program, we'll kick things off with the State House report. It's a staple of this radio program. It's a reoccurring segment, and it usually features predominantly the state representatives and state senators in and around the South Shore, as we have an opportunity to chat with them about some of the things that are going on up on Beacon Hill, some of the things that are going on or transpiring in their respective districts. And it's just a good chance to catch up with them on a regular basis. So if they were working on something, let's say it's a bill and the progress that it's making, we can at least kind of follow along with that progress. This week, it's State Representative Matt Muratori, and we get to chat with him about a couple of different things. My list includes the state budget, the gas tax, and, of course, any other bills that he has in the works. So we'll look forward to talking with him about that. Following the representative, we have Alex Bazanson. Alex is with the HUG Foundation, a nonprofit organization. HUG is an acronym for Help Us Give. There's an upcoming event that Alex is going to come and chat a little bit about. They got a game, a fundraiser for the HUG Foundation. Boston Bruins alumni come to skate at the Rockland Ice Arena. This is on April 9th, and the HUG Foundation puts together their own little team. It's called the Ice Huggers. And it's a great chance, if you're somebody who's a hockey fan, especially of guys who once donned the Bruins jersey, it's a fantastic time as they love meeting and mingling with folks in between getting out there and, you know, crunching some bodies into the boards and scoring goals. So that's coming up. Alex will give us the details on that special annual event that always happens, unless there's, of course, a pandemic. Hour number two, if you're looking for some information in regards to your finances, well, the segment at 7 o'clock is called a spring clean finance. And this, we'll talk about looking at your finances from top to bottom, from maybe there are applications that maybe you signed up for a few years ago that are still draining your bank account, to taking a look at your bank account, making sure that you're earning interest, insurance policies, all those things that, you know what, maybe from time to time you need to do a little bit of a tweak, check your credit, right? All these things to make sure that you are financially tip-top, especially if it comes a time that you need to make a purchase. You want to definitely have the best credit rating in. So we'll talk with Paula Harris, who is the co-founder and director of WH Cornerstone Investments. And then just kind of as a 1-2 punch, I want to say a couple of months ago, we had her husband on, Bill Harris. Bill wrote a book, and we're going to talk with him. Bill kind of gives us a breakdown as to if you lose somebody, what you should be doing in regards to, it's a widow's guide. So that's all coming up just in a few moments.
Hey, it's Geoff. That's what my friends call me, Geoff, 6 foot 190. I grew up on the South Shore and now I live on the South Coast. Trust me, I'm not the person you think I am. I'm just like you. I have two little girls that are the same as yours. My wife and I go to work while they go to school, just like you. We watch reality TV and participate in social media, just like you. Mal keeps the books while I move things, pick things up and put things down. Our friends are just like us. We all just want to live, work, and play freely. Thank you to the brave men and women who gave their lives. Thank you to the brave men and women who are currently giving their lives. Thank you to the brave civil servants that are serving our country every day. Thank you to the truck drivers and all of the workers that keep this country going. You are my heroes. You are amazing. You keep doing what you're doing, and we'll keep doing what we're doing. As long as we can, forever and ever, until death do us part. Like you, we stand with Ukraine. Like you, we stand for freedom. Our hearts and our prayers go out to all the people around the Ukraine. Godspeed. This message was brought to you by Brennan's Smoke Shop.
Download previous episodes of Monday Night Talk and listen to them anywhere. Check out 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
We return from our brief break for the first segment of Monday Night Talk, which is usually, most times, 75% of the time, the State House Report. And we have, I feel that this show has the privilege of having everybody from this area, the South Shore Legislative Delegation, who comes in and we have a good conversation. We have some fun, but we also talk about some of the things. It offers a platform for state senators and state representatives to talk about some of the things that are going on and kind of what they're doing in their district. Joining us, somebody who is a reoccurring guest. He's been a co-host from time to time. Great conversationalist, State Representative Matt Muratori. Representative, how are you?
Good yourself, Kevin. Thanks for having me again.
Again, it's, you know, you're all, everybody who I reach out to could always say no, but everybody has always been kind enough to want to have a conversation and discuss things. And I feel that it's a win-win-win, not only for the show, not only for the representative, but also for your constituents as well.
Yeah, I think it also, you know, in this age of social media, this kind of gives us a platform to give you, you know, really what's going on up to the minute. You know, and maybe some more factual things than maybe sometimes what you see on social media.
Yeah, because everybody knows that's where actual news, you know, it's all
that's where the news is.
It's almost equivalent to going to the water bubbler and talking to Joe from accounting, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Who has all the answers.
So I kind of feel that this is the time of year that the House, you're looking for, you know, the next version of the state budget, and we know that it's an ongoing process for fiscal year 23. Where do things stand in the House regarding the budget process and their version?
Yeah. Well, as you know, Kevin, the governor filed his budget late January. It's a $48.5 billion budget. It was a 0.5% increase from the year before. And the House has been debating that since that point. And, you know, this area is very fortunate. We have a few people that are on the House Ways and Means Budget Committee, Kathy Lenatra, myself, Patrick Kearney. And so we've actually been having several meetings with secretariats, all Zoom meetings, but with every secretariat in the Commonwealth, going over every line item, getting explanations on every line item. And I think we're just about complete with that at this point. And now the chair of the House Ways and Means and the staff will put together the House budget, which will be coming out probably the next week, which will be about the second week of April. And then we'll be debating that budget the last week of April.
Any changes? Do you see any drastic changes from what the governor put forth, or is there a lot of similarities and tweaks?
Yeah, I think there's probably going to be a lot of similarities to it. I think one of the biggest debates will be the tax relief proposal that the governor has put through. So he's put through a tax relief program that will relieve the tax burden for very low-income residents. It's going to provide significant relief for housing and childcare costs and improve the state's competitiveness. And then so it's really about giving back what we can to the taxpayers, but also helping in these other categories as well that's really needed. We're expecting a surplus in this year's budget of about $2.1 billion. Then we also have the ARPA money that we're going to be looking at and spending as well. We'll be looking at, we've already looked at education and some other areas earlier this year. Now we're going to be looking at transportation and climate change issues and where we can put some money, the ARPA money, into that as well. So, you know, we have some cash. We have ideas of what we want to do with the cash. You know, we'll just see where we come out on the House side of it. Of course, you know, then the Senate will have to do their version of it in May, and then there'll be a conference committee put together with the goal of trying to get it to the governor well before the July 1st deadline so we can sign the budget.
Is it worth asking, I know, early on in the pandemic when the coronavirus kind of interrupted the budget process in 2020, that the state had to dip into its stabilization fund, its rainy day fund. Where does that stand right now, and is that a possible place for any potential surplus?
Yeah, I think what's going to happen is the governor has proposed $750 million to go into the stabilization fund, which by the end of fiscal year 23 will bring the stabilization fund to the all-time high of $6.64 billion. I don't know how much the House will actually do of that $749, you know, we'll end up doing at least some portion of that. I'm hoping that we'll be able to match that and do that and have the Senate do the same. It was important to have a healthy stabilization account for our bond ratings and also for those rainy days, as we saw during the pandemic. You know, we had some rainy days that we had to dip into that. But fortunately for the federal government coming up with some funding, you know, through ARPA to help the cities and towns and the Commonwealth, we'll be able to put more money back into that and have it as an all-time high, as I said.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned, because that was my follow-up question for the folks who didn't understand what the stabilization fund does, and you eloquently put it, is, you know, bonding if there's going to be, you know, state projects and borrowing. And then, you know, yeah, if there's ever a need for extra cash and you can't get that money from the federal government, at least that's something that's squirreled away, per se.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it makes the, you know, back in 2008, when the economy tanked, you know, that stabilization fund helped the Commonwealth at least get through the bumps. But then you got to put it back in as well. So we've been able to do a good job of that over the last 8 years.
It's worth noting, you know, it's been bandied about the conversation since we've seen the war that broke out in Ukraine, Russia invading, gas prices skyrocketing. The first thing that's been asked by individuals and questions that have been asked of any legislator who is within the earshot of a microphone is about the gas tax that was instituted as part of the TCI bill. Where does that stand in the House? I know I've heard a couple of different senators. I asked Senator Moran recently. What's the House take on rescinding the gas tax until September?
Yeah, I know it's something that a lot of us have brought forward to the Speaker and have asked to take a look at that. We've asked to actually rescind that gas tax, which is about 26 cents through Labor Day. And we've also said, well, maybe just for the next couple of months. Right now it's not looking like it's going to happen at this point, but it's something we'll continue to push.
Okay. And again, if you're just tuning in, we're speaking with State Representative Matt Muratori. He joins us the 1st Plymouth District as we chat with state senators and state representatives during this State House report. Now, Plymouth has their town meeting coming up. This is town meeting season as well for many communities in and around the Commonwealth, if that's the formal government that they have. Plymouth has theirs coming up. Will you be attending, and do you have anything in store to address the residents of Plymouth?
Well, Plymouth is actually doing a remote town meeting. Yep. This coming Saturday, they'll be doing that. So I've actually already taped my comments as the state of the state. I'll be giving the state of the state on behalf of Senator Moran, Representative Exaros, and Representative Lenatra. So we've incorporated, you know, a 5-minute sort of speech of some of the accomplishments, some of the highlights of what we're going to be looking to do. You know, but some of the things that we're looking to do is you know, one of the things is a complete street grant that that Plymouth has got. They got almost $400,000 just recently, but we're looking to spend more money, about $100 million more. Street program, usually we do about $200 million in streets, complete street programs. We're looking at another $100 million for cities and towns, you know, for infrastructure, bridges, et cetera. There's a lot we're looking to do for the Commonwealth with regard to child care. As you know, child care has become such an issue. More people looking for child care, not enough workers, not enough spaces for them. So we're looking at some ways to incentivize people to take advantage of child care with tax credits, et cetera. Transportation is something that we're going to be looking at as well to make it more affordable, transportation folks, expand the transportation program. And, of course, housing. Housing is one of the biggest things that we've been focusing on as the House and also in this area, and the governor and Senate have as well. And so I think there's going to be some significant amount of money that's going to be coming out for housing as well, whether it's affordable housing, workforce housing, et cetera. But you really need, you know, housing, transportation, and childcare to really help the economy and try to help get, you know, the almost 200,000 employee people in Massachusetts who are still unemployed back on the employment rolls.
We know that the political landscape is still forming for the state elections later on this year. Do you think housing is going to be a top issue or topic that's going to be discussed? Or do you think it's something else?
Yeah, I think it's going to be housing. I think it's going to be childcare. I think it's going to be transportation. But I think housing out of all of them will be the top one. People have to have a stable house to live in. Affordable house to live in. As we know, the market's going crazy and it's very difficult for folks. But if you have a house, you'll be able to get, you know, employment, and then we'd help you find, you know, transportation and childcare as well. So I do think that, and I hope it is part of the debate that's going to go on during this campaign season.
Talking about legislation, something you and I had chatted about prior to coming on air, and that is behavioral health. Is there not legislation that is in the works right now in regards to that area?
Yeah, and it's something I've been talking about even prior to being a state rep is behavioral health and the need to actually treat behavioral health the same as physical health. The governor's just come out with a $1.4 billion behavioral health bill. The Senate already has their version of it. The governor's version would require insurers and providers to increase spending on behavioral health by 30% over the next 3 years. And the Speaker of the House, Speaker Mariano, has just come out indicating that the House will be coming out with a bill very shortly, somewhat similar probably to the Senate bill, and then we'll do through conference committee. And I'm just so grateful and thankful for the Speaker and the Governor, the Senate President, for really making behavioral health a top priority for the Commonwealth. It's been a struggle for many years, but as you know, Kevin, COVID has just made it worse, particularly for our young people. And it's time that we address it and we put funding in for it. So I'm glad to see that's going to be happening.
And is this something that could possibly tie into, I feel as though the Commonwealth has always been ahead of many other states in the country when it comes to initiatives. I feel that healthcare was one of those items. Would you think that something that addresses behavioral health would also be another one of those initiatives that is the first of its kind in the country?
Yeah, I think so. I think we have an opportunity. I think there's a will of the body of the House and the Senate to actually do something extraordinary and not just put a Band-Aid on it. And the plans that we're starting to see and hear about, I think will be extraordinary and will be shown as leaders in the country.
Now, is this something that could be tied into the health connector, or is this just something different, a standalone?
I think it'll be tied into all areas, Mass Health Connector, private insurance company, everywhere. Yeah, it's going to be a foolproof plan that's going to benefit everyone and not just certain people.
As we trend away from legislation, the warmer months are ahead. Mm-hmm. Any discussions up on the House as to how things are, you know, is COVID in the rearview mirror, or is it not something that we should assume just yet, knowing that the summer months are important for a lot of communities like Plymouth when it comes to generating revenue and attracting tourists?
I think, you know, it's been 2 years, as you know, with COVID. And, you know, with my healthcare background and discussions I've had with health people, and I know the governor has, within the last month or so, was down in Washington meeting with the president. And we're really starting to look at moving from a pandemic to an endemic. And I think you're going to see that very soon start to happen. And basically, it's going to be like influenza, you know, the flu. It's going to be something seasonal. It's something we're going to live with. We have enough science behind it to understand it, what needs to happen with it, et cetera. So it's just going to be something that we're going to be living with. Again, just like the flu season. We know flu season's coming. We go get our flu shots if you want to do that. So I think that's what we're going to come into. I think the days of the lockdown, you know, those type of things, you know, the mandatory mask, I think are probably going to be behind us. Although, you know, voluntarily, if you want to wear a mask, you should wear a mask. And just like in Asia, they wear a mask when they're not feeling well, because that's just part of their culture and it's a respectful thing. I think the same thing should continue here in the United States as well.
Well, I wasn't a fan of while I was not a fan of wearing masks or having to deal with COVID. I didn't have any problem with not catching a cold for the past.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Years. That's it. Yeah. You hear most people say that, yeah. You know, that they've gone 2 years without really being sick. People have gone on airplanes who used to get sick, don't get sick anymore.
Right.
Personally, I still may wear a mask on the airlines if, you know, once that mask mandate goes away next month. But yeah, it just, you know, it's okay. It's okay if you want to continue to do that.
Anything you're looking forward to doing in the warmer months this summer? Summer is a great place to, you know, there's so many different things that I can't name just four or five of them, whether it's down on the waterfront or going to a favorite restaurant or a venue.
Yeah, it's just, you know, we're looking forward to getting out to the downtown area. As you know, part of the legislation that was filed recently and passed and signed by the governor was have outdoor dining again. For another year. So, and Plymouth has done a good job of putting together a subcommittee led by select board members Harry Helm. Rick Vail was a chair of that, along with PJO and Hanley from Water Street Cafe. And they put together a nice plan to revamp the downtown dining in Plymouth. And I encourage folks to start coming out when that happens. And we're looking forward to going out with friends and family and just spending a lot of time on the waterfront and actually outdoor dining.
As we get ready to wrap up, again, we're speaking with State Representative Matt Muratori. Representative, anything we haven't touched upon during our segment, but you want to take a moment to chat about?
No, I think that I appreciate the time that you give us to get out our information to folks. Like I said, it beats social media, not the facts. But we encourage people that if you have any questions or concerns, reach out to our offices. People can reach out to me by emailing me or calling me on my cell phone, which is 508-930-2979. If you have any issues or any questions or any ideas for government, we really welcome them.
I apologize. I forgot to add to your title, esteemed judge of Dancing with Our Stars. I forgot all about that. Seeing that
that was so much fun, Kevin. So much fun. Yeah.
I saw the pictures.
Yeah, as you know, Kevin, I actually was one of the first year they had the Dancing with the Stars. I reluctantly did it. Came in third place. But, you know, believe it or not, I'm not a person that really likes the limelight. And I really get anxious of those type of things. And actually, I threw up before I actually danced that time. But I did it because it was for a good cause. It was for the Suicide Coalition at that point. And so then a year later, I was able to be the MC of it. So this year, I graduated to judge, and we just had so much fun. And I give all those people that came out to the dance all the credit in the world. Thank the chamber for putting it on. They raised almost $40,000 with a one fund to help the business communities in and around Plymouth area. And it was just a fantastic night. It was almost 400 people. There was packed. Mark Higgins from the police department actually won it. So it was just a fantastic evening. It was so much fun, and they're going to plan on doing it year after year.
Well, we'll look forward to seeing if you will return in some role. Maybe you are back at the judging table, or maybe you can put those tap dance shoes back on.
Hey, judging is a lot easier than tap dancing, I'll tell you that.
if your constituents want to reach out to you or have any issues that they want to talk to you about, how can they do that?
Yeah, I just, you know, people say, you know, where's your office? I don't have an office in Plymouth. I'll go anywhere people want to go. And I give out my cell phone number, which is 508 930-2979. They want to reach out, have any questions, they can reach out to my office, email me, whatever's easier. You know, tweet me, Facebook me, whatever you want to do to reach out. But we guarantee we'll get back to you with any issues that you have.
Excellent. Well, thank you again for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Got it. There he is, State Representative Matt Muratori, our guest. We're going to step aside. When we come back in a moment, Alex Bezanson, we'll talk a little bit about the HUG Foundation right here on Monday Night Talk, heard only on 95.9 WAT.
Is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
That truck, it pays?
What?
The bumper sticker on that truck says it pays.
Pays? Pays what?
I can't quite read it. Oh, it pays to stay way back.
Ah, what was that?
The truck, snap back a rock. Now I've got a broken windshield.
I'm Peter Brown of Tiny & Sons Auto Glass in Pembroke. It pays to stay way back. However, if your windshield is broken, just call 1-888-64-TINIES. And thank you.
Follow Monday Night Talk on Twitter. Start at 959WATD.com/Monday Night Talk. And don't forget to add hashtag Monday Night Talk to your tweets. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD. And our next guest has been on this radio program multiple times, wearing different hats for different reasons, different causes, different issues. The one that he's been on probably reoccurring the most is in regards to the HUG Foundation. HUG Foundation stands for Help Us Give. It's a nonprofit 501c organization. And coming up in just over, I think, over a week, week and a half, is an event that they're going to be having as they the Ice Huggers take on the Boston Bruins alumni. This will take place April 9th. And Alex is here to kind of give us the details. But we, what I like to do normally for folks, I can't assume that everybody understands how you got involved with how you created the HUG Foundation and how it came to be that you have regular interactions with the Bruins alumni. But first, tell us about the HUG Foundation.
Well, in 2006, my sister was diagnosed with terminal cancer. She was a huge Bruins fan. Her and I used to go into the garden all the time and watch practices and go to games. And like I said, she was diagnosed in November of 2006 with terminal cancer. She was given 2 months to live. So I reached out to Cleon Daskalak. That, for those who don't know him, he was a 1981 Beanpot MVP, and he played goalie for the Boston Bruins for a while. Well, I had been in a celebrity golf tournament with him, and I didn't know any of the Bruins, but he was my celebrity in that tournament. So he gave me his card and said, if you ever need anything, give me a call. Well, 2 months later, my sister's diagnosed, as I said. So I did call him, and I asked him if they could send a picture, a signed autographed picture, to my sister to cheer her up. Well, a few days later, we got the picture of Ray Bourque signed in the mail, and we thought, the world was great. That's all we had hoped for. But then I started getting phone calls from Terry O'Reilly and Rick Middleton. And again, these we didn't even know these people. And they were concerned about my sister. They wanted to see how she was doing. They wanted her phone number to cheer her up. So they all started calling her. My sister got friendly with Terry O'Reilly's wife. And Bob Sweeney called me, Rick Middleton called me, and it was just amazing the support that they gave our family. My sister lived for two more years after that, and during those 2 years, they invited us to concerts, to dinners, to fundraisers, to all kinds of events, and we just became friends with them. So Lisa and I wanted to do something to kind of pay them back, although they didn't want anything for their kindness. So we started the Ice and Dice Casino Nights, and we donated the money to their Pan Mass Challenge bike team, which goes for cancer research. So we did that for 3 years, and we raised over $50,000 for those casino nights for the Pan Mass Challenge and cancer research. From there, we became even closer friends with them, and we formed the HUG Foundation to help people going through treatments or who have been in accidents. And it really started out to cover expenses that's not covered by insurances, like gas to the hospitals for treatments, or even meals at the hospital, and small things like that that people don't realize it really adds up. So that's how we got started. And we've been doing the HUG Foundation since about 2012. And part of the way that we raise money is we actually play a hockey game against the Bruins alumni every year, which becomes one of our biggest fundraisers and helps us to help people within the community.
Now, who is this group called the Ice Huggers? Who are these guys?
It's a bunch of guys that really can't skate that well. Fortunately for the team, I'm not skating this year because I'm probably the worst skater. We have some people that have skated with us for 10 years, and we have some new people skating. They're just all local people from in and around Abington and the South Shore. And in order for them to skate, they have to raise $1,000 for the HUG Foundation. And we have, I think we have 10 skaters. Yes, we have 10 of our own skaters that have each raised $1,000. And we have 4 Bruins alumni that will be skating with us also.
Now, who are some of the prospective Bruins alumni that could possibly appear at the game? Now, there's no guarantee. It depends on their schedules. But there's quite a few well-known guys.
Well, I do have a partial list that Nifty actually sent me today. And we have Sean Miller, who was Bobby Miller's son. He actually lives in Marshfield, and he'll be playing goalie for the alumni. Frank Simonetti, who is the vice president of the Alumni Association. Bruce Crowder, Tim Sweeney, a local guy, Bob Sweeney, Tommy Songen, Ken Hodge Jr. There'll be Dave Jensen, Pat Leahy, Dan Lacature. We'll all be skating for the HUG Foundation. Oh. And this year it's a little special because Danny Lacature's family is going through some serious medical issues, and we're donating a majority of the funds raised at this game to the Lacature family. So we're hoping everyone comes out and buys some tickets and supports us and buys some raffle tickets. It's going to be a great time. Rick Middleton will be there. He's not skating. He just had his knee replaced, but he will be there as the coach.
So it's interesting. So you talk about the back in the day, back in 2006, having the Ice and Dice. Well, it's almost like you're going back 17 years. As you're going to have something like that. You're going to have the hockey game at 1 o'clock on the 9th. And later that night, a little bit of dice being thrown around at the Knights of Columbus, a casino.
Yeah. And if you remember way back when we did our first casino night, that's how I met you. You had called me about doing a radio show way back then. And you advertised for us for the casino night. And yeah, we're doing it again.
And you actually had, I think, at that particular event, while, you know, you had some Bruins alumni who were there, you had some other local celebrities that also popped in unexpectedly, correct?
We have a lot of celebrity friends that have supported us over the years and still do. Dave Russo, one that, you know, plays in our softball tournament. He'll be skating for the Ice Huggers this year. I'm sure he'll be sticking around for the casino night. Some of the local alumni, Mike Motto, I think he'll be playing for the Bruins alumni or for the Ice Huggers. So we've got a lot of local alumni that live on the South Shore, so they've all been very good to us and come to all our events, and I'm sure there'll be some surprises at the game as well as the casino night.
It's interesting you mentioned Mike Motto. Motts was on with a couple of weeks ago with Bob Beers, who does a color for Bruins Radio. And they were talking about Bruins alumni and how much Motts loves to skate with the local folks and be a part of the Bruins alumni and help to give back.
Yeah, we've got a great alumni. As you know, Kevin, and some of your listeners might know that because of my relationship with them, I actually work with them at a lot of these games and I travel with them. And I've been lucky enough to travel to Canada and Florida with the Bruins alumni and some of the all of the original six alumni. And everybody says that the Bruins alumni, including the other alumni, say that the Bruins alumni is the best run in the NHL. And it really is. And it's definitely a family atmosphere in there. And they welcome Lisa and I and my family into their family. And we appreciate it very much. And they have become family to us. So it's a great, great group. Everyone says hockey players are the best, and they really are.
They're almost like when you look at public safety folks. Now, this is no knock on police or DPW, but, you know, firefighters are beloved. And I kind of equate hockey players like firefighters. Would I be wrong here?
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. It's just a great family atmosphere, and they're always doing something for somebody.
Who would you say of all the? Again, you mentioned it that you've traveled and you've had a chance to go and help out with the Bruins alumni and you know their alumni teams playing against other NHL alumni. Anybody that you've had interesting you've crossed paths with or. Well, you've met during your time helping out with the Bruins alumni and the games?
Sure. Guy Lafleur is one of the big ones who we all hated growing up.
Oh, yeah.
I've been lucky enough to travel with Guy and call Guy a friend now. I've done golf tournaments with him, hockey games with him all over Canada. And he's a good friend now, and he's just the greatest, greatest guy. And like I said, I told him when I first met him, I said, we hated you down in Boston, and he knew that. But, you know, I've met Kevin Stevens, another local guy. We actually did a TV show, a radio show for a while on addiction with Kevin, and Kevin's a great guy. Knuckles Nyland, I think we've had him on. Your show before. He lives in Montreal now, but from West Roxbury originally, played for Montreal, played for the Bruins, won the Stanley Cup. He's a good friend of ours now. So, you know, it's far-reaching much more beyond just the Bruins alumni now, but that was the start of everything was the Bruins alumni when my sister got sick. And, you know, I tell everyone I'm living a dream, being friends with these guys, and you know, being able to reach out to them for charity events like this and having them help out, it really helps us and helps a lot of people in the community.
Just tuned in. We're speaking with Alex Bezanson as he's here sharing details for his organization, the Hug Foundation, as they're going to be having a hockey game. It's going to be the Ice Huggers taking on the Boston Bruins alumni on April 9th at 1 p.m. Get your tickets now. The Rockland Ice Arena later that night, 7 o'clock at the end. The Knights of Columbus. I believe that's Knights of Columbus in Whitman, or is that Abington?
Abington. It'll be Abington on Hancock Street.
Yep, Abington. Casino night from 7 p.m. to 11. Interesting number. So if you want to get involved with this, is there a way for folks to find out more information and get their tickets?
The best way to get information is to go to the Hug Foundation Facebook page, which is facebook.com/helpusgive. Or they can reach out to me personally. My cell phone number is 781-953-1236. Unfortunately, we're having a new website built, and it's not up yet. But Facebook, or just reach out to me personally. And why don't we give you 10 tickets that you can give away the week leading up to the game on the radio station?
Well, definitely, we can definitely do that. We know that it's a popular event. Kind of give a breakdown as to anybody who's never gone to a game. I think it's fantastic to be able to see, not only to see some of your heroes, some of the guys you followed on TV back in the day who are out there skating, but then it's not like they just come out of the dressing room, hit the ice, and then go back in. They'll mingle with the crowd, am I right?
Yeah, so what we did, the alumni did this year is, well, because of COVID for the last couple of years, we haven't been able to, well, last year we weren't able to have any fans. So, as you know, Kevin, Abington Community Access tapes all the Bruins games, the Bruins alumni games, and then airs them on Bruins alumni TV. And people can be sponsors, and the ads will be on the TV as well as the program. So the alumni have now just a program that everyone will get free when they come into the game. And it's got all the players' pictures, and actually all the staff too. And between periods, they'll go out and sign autographs for everybody. They're very gracious in doing that, and they'll make sure everyone that wants an autograph will get it. They take pictures, and they'll sign your shirts, they'll sign the program book, they'll sign anything you want. So they're very, very good that way. Like you said, it's not they're just going to sneak in the back door and play and sneak out again. They'll mix and mingle with everyone. They'll probably hang around after the game. Some of them might even go up to the Knights of Columbus afterwards. So it's going to be a good time. And if you've never been, you really should come out and see these guys. They put on a great show, and it's all for charity. The Bruins alumni do about 30 games a year down in the New England area. Before COVID, they did another 20 or 25 up in Canada or down in Florida and other places. And this year, we're back up to, I think, about 25 by the end of April. We'll have about 25 games that we've played. So it's getting back somewhat normal. And hopefully next year it's back to full capacity and everything. And we just keep going because the guys love doing this. And every game they play is for a charity.
So before we let you go, we should probably also tease the fact that the other event that the Hug Foundation does that we have promoted, and that is the softball tournament.
Yes, and we will be doing that again this year. It will be in June. I'm not sure the exact date right now, but you know we'll be back on the show. But that's another free event that we do, and we usually have about 8 to 12 teams, depending on the year. We did miss a year because of COVID, but we started up again last year again. And every team has a celebrity on it, and the celebrities volunteer their time for the Hug Foundation. And again, they sign autographs and take pictures, and they're at the softball field the whole day. And that will be in Abington in June, I think probably the 3rd or 4th Saturday. So look out for that also. Most of our events, all of our events are advertised on Facebook. We find that's the best place to advertise them, other than WATD, of course. So if you follow us on Facebook, you'll be kept up to what's going on.
I will say it is interesting that last year's champions, probably I think the first year that I didn't play, I think Dave Choka did not play either. But there was a group of folks who came together as Team Choka. And one, I'll be looking forward to seeing if that team comes back to repeat.
I wonder if that has anything to do with you and Dave not playing.
Might have a lot to do with it.
Because we played for, what, 8 years? And this was the first time they won.
Yeah. But you had some great teams, and there's been a lot of fun. Yeah. Do you feel there's a lot of camaraderie and a lot of old, you know, a lot of folks who returned every year to be a part of the tournament?
Yeah. It's always a great time. And again, people get to see celebrities, and you know, people bring their families and watch the parents play, and you know, it's really a good family day at the Abington softball fields.
Anything that we haven't touched upon as we get ready to wrap up here, Alex, that you want to make sure you leave with our listeners?
Well, yeah, just go onto our Facebook page. Come on out and support us. You know, it's been tough the last couple of years trying to raise money. And one thing that we have done during the pandemic is we started the little free pantries. And Lisa had made over 700 masks that we gave away, and we've been putting food out there. And we still have the pantry out in front of our house, and we fill it every day with food. And almost every day, all the food's gone. So there is still a need out there, and we're going to continue to do that. But we need your support to continue doing that. And anyone that's listening that's been dropping off food anonymously, we really, really appreciate it. We've had people drop off mittens, hats, food, all kinds of stuff, and it's we really appreciate it. So thank you all, and thank you to WATD, who you guys have been with us from day one when we first started doing things, and we really appreciate all the support that we get from WATD and you, Kevin.
You got it, sir. Thank you for your time. That is Alex Bezanson with the Hug Foundation. That's just one of many hats that he has worn on this radio program, but we're going to go with the Hug Foundation right now. Again, mark your calendars for April 9th. That is a 1 p.m. game at the Rockland Ice Arena. The Boston Bruins alumni taking on the Ice Huggers later that night. Of course, the casino night at the Knights of Columbus in Abington from 7 to 11 p.m. All right, we're going to step aside. That's going to do it for our number one of Monday Night Talk. When we come back, more radio program.
ATD FM Marshfield, WMEX Quincy, WBMS Brockton, and Translator W266DA Brockton. This is the South Shore's radio station, 95.9 FM WATD. Streaming online at 95.9WATD.com. And with your smart speaker, just by saying play WATD.
Each year, about one out of two men and one out of three women will develop cancer. But there's good news. Today's cancer survival odds are much better than 2 or even 3 years ago. Things move that fast. So if you're diagnosed, be sure to have someone in your corner who is on top of all the latest cancer treatments and techniques, the latest research, the newest equipment, all the newest medicines available through clinical trials. And speaking of corners, here's more good news. Advanced cancer care is now just around the corner. The Green Cancer Center at Signature Healthcare treats patients locally, with all oncology services and specialties conveniently housed under one roof. The center is affiliated with Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center, so you'll be seen by Harvard Medical Faculty physicians and oncologists. The Green Cancer Center at Signature Healthcare, in affiliation with Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. Cancer has just met its match. Find out why at mysignaturecare.org/cancercare.
Monday Night Talk on Twitter. Start at 959WATD.com/Monday Night Talk. And don't forget to add hashtag Monday Night Talk to your tweets. We now return to Kevin Tocchi and Monday Night Talk.
We are back. Hour number two of Monday Night Talk. Thank you for keeping your radio dial set right here.
Joining us for this segment is a good friend, somebody who I have had conversations with in the past on this program, and it's about finances and knowing that here we are. Normally, I like to have these particular conversations earlier in the year, almost kind of like a New Year's type of a thing. But let me tell you, sometimes our schedules get busy. But so we actually, the initiative that we have today is we're going to talk about spring clean your finances. And who would I bring in? Or who would I want to talk to? None other than Paula Harris, who is not only an author,
but she's also a co-founder and director of WH Cornerstone Investments. Paula, welcome back to the program.
Kevin, thank you so much. I always love coming on with you. We have the best conversations.
How are you? It's been a bit since we've talked, but how are you and how is your husband Bill doing?
We are doing well. I think part of why we didn't get to chat earlier is just a lot's been going on. A lot of, life changes and being financial planners, you get to see a lot of things and sometimes things get closer to home. So we've had some, family matters we've been dealing with and helping aging parents and starting to understand what it really is like to be in that sandwich generation. And it's pretty eye-opening. And I have a whole new respect for people who have been helping parents navigate the aging process and learning a lot. So it's a busy time.
Folks who may or may not recall our conversations, give a little bit of a background on WH Cornerstone Investments.
Sure. So we've been in business since the late 90s, and we are financial planners and investment advisors. We are what's considered a fiduciary on behalf of our clients. So we not only help them manage their money, but we help them make those really important financial decisions in their life. Somehow money touches every aspect of our life, and making really good decisions at critical times is important. We have a specialty in working with widows. It's a group of people that just need help, take help, implement it, and they've been such a rewarding group of people to support, and that's just been tremendous. But I can't emphasize enough, the planning side of money is really where it's at. As much as people always want to focus on what was their return on investments, what's the hottest stock, what's happening in the market, it's those day-to-day decisions that you make that impact your finances more than anything else. It's your habits. And having good financial habits is key. And this is a great time of year to talk about them.
What is the importance of staying engaged with one's finances?
Oh, that's a great question to start with. It's the type of thing, I'll put it this way. When you get up in the morning, if you are one of those people who hit snooze all the time, if you're putting snooze on your finances, you are really not setting yourself up for success, because finances are something you need to look at. They need to be on your mind quite frequently. I don't recommend they be like the forefront of your mind all the time, because that could drive you a little bit crazy. But being aware and being conscious and making good decisions is important. So today, let's make a pledge. We're not hitting the snooze button on our finances today. Today is about action. We talked briefly beforehand. There's a woman who has a great saying. It's called 5-4-3-2-1 launch or action. And that's what today, we're going to take action.
Great analogy. I'm somebody who I identify with analogies, and that's a fantastic analogy as to one who may procrastinate when it comes to their finances or making decisions or at least staying on top of things that could be red flags or could become major problems with your finances.
And that happens to most of us. We get busy in our lives. We get distracted. I think kind of focusing on finance is fun. Maybe that makes me a nerd about it, but I think it's kind of a game to me, and I want to win at that game. It's like winning at the game of life. And so I think often people, we put shame, or we put too heavy of emotions tied to finances, and it prevents us from moving forward rather than being curious and saying, if I tweaked this or I did that, how does that get me closer to my goals? And that's ultimately what it's all about, is having long-term goals that we want to achieve and making decisions, often baby step decisions every day, finding ways to automate so that it becomes easy. We have a saying, inch by inch, it's a cinch. If you try to eat the elephant all at one time, you can't do it. But if you do those little teeny steps every day or every week, it becomes a cinch.
It's interesting you use that. Mine isn't so much the elephant, it's the sandwich. You don't eat a sandwich in one bite.
Yep.
You nibble away at it, and however you kind of get to finish it, sandwiches.
Yep.
You don't want to do it all in one bite. What's interesting is that preparing us individually, I had notes. You were kind enough. You always kind of send me information. Here's some of the things that we can talk about. And one of the first things on your list
actually was something that I wanted to make sure I did during the calendar year 2022. Yep. And that is to update, create a budget, and also eliminate any applications or any services that I'm not using. Maybe I signed up from a couple of years ago for something and it's just been on pause since. Talk to us about that.
Oh, that's a great thing. So we live in the age of subscriptions. Everything in our life is a subscription. And it's interesting. So many of us are cutting the cable cord because we're like, oh, I don't want to pay for the cable. But what we've added in, Amazon Prime, Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, was it Paramount? I mean, like we went from having free television to like paying for everything. So very easily we do this. I mean, the old standard one is the gym membership. You pay for it. You don't necessarily go, you know, you just suddenly have all these subscriptions in your life. And actually, Bill gave me a gift at Christmas time and it was this, I don't even remember exactly what it was called, but it was a gear that you put on your head. And what turns out, I said to him, did you realize you had to have a subscription in order to use this piece of technology? He says, I didn't realize that. I was like, well, this gift suddenly is going to cost me every month. So we returned it. It was not a high enough impact. But it's one of those things death by a thousand cuts. I think it's going to be death to the budget by a thousand subscriptions. And being aware of that is huge. We were traveling internationally on safari back in November. And for the first time, this credit card got compromised. I've had the credit card since 1997, same number, first time. So one of the benefits of that happening is suddenly, it's taken about 3 or 4 months, I'm getting all these notifications like, credit card's no longer working, we need you to re-up. So it's forcing me to think like, do I still want to give money to this organization? Do I still want to pay for that? So re-examining your budget and where your money is going is awesome. An awesome opportunity to say, okay, do the spending still align with my values? Like we go walking every morning. We're downtown Plymouth the other day and it's, 7 o'clock in the morning and there's somebody's Blue Apron, which is a food subscription, sitting on their front steps. And I'm like, okay, that obviously sat there overnight. They didn't eat, they weren't waiting for it. They didn't looking. So that food's probably spoiled. And, obviously they weren't waiting. And do they really need it? So it does make you start to think about it.
Interesting. During your comment, you mentioned about free TV and a lot of the younger generation wouldn't know what that is. The older folks understand that there was a time that, you could get TV over the air, but this invention of having movie channels and everything, it's become more and more costly. It's interesting you mentioned that because I'm guilty of the same thing of having I actually have cable, but then I also have the, the Fire Stick TV and I could a little a la carte. Applications like Paramount Plus and, we all want to stay up with the latest, binge-worthy series. It's interesting, and that's excellent advice to at least stay on top of that stuff.
Well, interesting, Kevin, when we moved a couple of years ago, we cut the cable cord and we've actually bought a digital antenna to put in the window. So we get our TV through that digital antenna and it was $50 to buy it. So it was a one-time cost. So if you can start to think about one-time costs versus continually paying for something, that's a better way to go with your budget too.
Something that a lot of us don't realize until the moment arises, and that is if we need to purchase something, if something happens to a family member, you break down, your car goes on the fritz, not having enough funds to be able to take care of it. How important is it to at least create or at least have an understanding of your emergency fund?
Oh, Kevin, that's another great question. Emergency funds are so important. And just like the name says, emergency, you don't know when it's going to happen. We talk about curveball life planning a lot. Curveballs come out of nowhere. And how do you, you know, how do you react to them? And so having that 3 to 6 months of living expenses saved in the bank, not invested in the market, it's a little painful to see that you're only going to get your 0.01%. But you have to keep it in a liquid form. You know, we had a situation in our overall family. Someone passed away suddenly. Well, if you don't know this, the funeral home, you have to pay them on the spot before the funeral happens. So they do take credit card, but you don't want to be putting all these things on credit cards either, these emergencies. You want to be able to pay them off. So, you know, the car, you know, I actually ran into somebody the other day. His car had a problem and the automatic steering went. So he borrowed his daughter's car. And when he got to the place to park it, that car went. He then had to rely on his girlfriend's car. So he had two cars that were going to need major repairs. So really important. And if you are someone who's self-employed, you definitely want to, or you're in a specialty where it's harder to get quick employment, you want to have that plus 6 months saved so that you can navigate it. And preferably it is truly cash in the bank.
I think it's kind of hand in hand, not only having an emergency fund, but also having an understanding of your credit history, because again, you never know when at a moment's notice, yep, you need to borrow money if somebody happens to pass away or if you need to purchase a new vehicle. How important is it to make sure that you clean up your credit history?
Oh, I think it's very important. You want to look. You can get your free look at your credit from each one of the major companies, which I'm not going to have them all right now, TransUnion, Experian, and then there's one other. They will each give you a free look once a year. You want to make sure that your bills have been paid, that you don't have outstanding credit cards that you didn't know about. A lot of times people will have them from stores, the Macy's, the Kohl's, and you forget that you opened that 12 years ago. It's still active against your credit. Because having a good credit score, that's how much you're going to pay when you borrow money. So you want to get a mortgage. You want the best one you can get because you're locking into that mortgage rate for a long period of time. Same with the car loan. So making sure you don't miss payments. So, you know, on the flip side of that is how do you automate so that, you know, you have automatic bill pay? You know, and this is for younger people and for older people. You know, as we start to get older, we tend to not realize if we paid something. And, you know, I'm seeing that, you know, as we help family members, you know, you missed that car payment. You missed that insurance payment. That puts your account into some risk, and you don't want to do that. So you want to make sure that you're buttoned up on taking care of those matters.
Myself, I use something called Credit Karma, and it gives me updates whenever there's any kind of fluctuation in my credit score. I want to say probably the most horrific score I got. I think I'm saying it incorrectly here. I actually got a notification that for some reason, my credit score plummeted 100 points.
Ooh.
100 points, right?
That's
usually
big.
It flips up 5, it goes down 3. It's, you know, it's kind of depending on what you have for open credit cards, you know, what you have for limits, if you pay your credit cards off. But for some reason, there was some kind of an issue with a credit card. It was a store credit card that I had bought, I had signed up for many years ago. But as you know, through the process, the card gets bought by one company and another company buys that debt. Another company buys, before you know, you have a bigger company. And I had a bigger company that bought the debt. And because I had there was some kind of an issue as far as I paid it, but it was a day late and I wasn't aware that they had instituted, you know, a minimal fee to it. They carried over that they decided to reduce. They reduced the credit card from, you know, $1,000 to $400, and that limited the amount of credit that I had. That's why I had such a large number, and it's, you know, being aware, and, you know, it was a lesson. You know, that's what life is about, is learning and retaining that information. So this is great information you've given.
Kevin, as you bring that up, at the beginning of the pandemic, when companies, and especially banks, credit card companies, didn't know what this was going to be about, they started pulling back those credit limits. So maybe this happened to you about that time. And I had a lot of people reaching out to me saying, oh my gosh, I didn't do anything different. But my bank is not allowing me to have this line of credit. My credit card company has dropped, you know, from this amount weighed, and they were significant drops. So that's a very good point. So that's another reason to be prepared if that curveball comes. You know, pandemic was a curveball, and it hit, you know, it hit physically, emotionally, financially, you know, it hit health-wise, it hit in lots of ways.
And if you're just tuning into the program, we are speaking with Paula Harris. She is the co-founder and director of WH Cornerstone Investments and a valuable resource to talk to us about finances. And we've had so many different conversations over the past few programs that we've had her on. It's fantastic to have you on. Going from credit to talking about somebody who likes to put money in a savings account. I'm somebody who's guilty. I have multiple savings accounts. I stayed with one credit union for oh so many years. What should I do if I want to do a little bit of a checkup when it comes to my savings account? Should I keep it in that bank or should I be looking around?
So, you know, the nature of banking has been changing a lot. Excuse me. It's a lot more online. You know, someone posted on LinkedIn or Facebook the other day, when was the last time you actually went into a bank for a transaction? And I've been a corporator of a bank for a number of years. And, you know, some banks are not offering Saturday hours anymore. So things are changing. So you need to make sure your bank, you want to make sure you know people in the bank. That's really important. So they can put your name and face, because when you have, you know, a special request, you want to be able to talk to a human being. So if you are always dealing with, you know, person du jour and there's no relationship, you know, when you need that favor or you need a little extra help, they're not going to care about you. So I tend to say the big national banks, steer clear of them. Go to your community, your local bank, the ones that sponsor the Little League, the ones that sponsor the orchestra, you know, the ones that are giving back that you're seeing all the time. So you want to then look at what are the rates. You know, credit unions do tend to pay a little bit higher rate than banks. So you look and see if that makes sense. Do they offer you the services that you want? How up to date is their online banking system? Is it easy? I have a regular bank. I have a credit union. You know, they have different systems. Some I like better. So, credit unions changed theirs a couple of times, and actually at this point it's doing great. The traditional bank has got one that's working pretty well. And so you want to make sure that makes sense. And actually thinking about fees, Kevin, I often will transfer money between the bank and the credit union. I will be patient and wait the 4 days to not take on the fee. If you are doing that transfer, you can do it more quickly, but it's like a $3 fee. You do that all the time, you're throwing money away. The other thing is to look at their ATM network. You know, can you get money out that way? So you don't need to worry so much if you're a big bank, you know, you're at the national bank, because the ATM networks will get you what you need, usually with no fees. So definitely making sure that they still meet your needs is really key. And sometimes you can have a local bank, even though you moved across the country. Nowadays, you can still keep that bank. It's very easy with mobile banking.
But transitioning from talking about savings to, you know, socking away money for the one day that you can retire.
Yeah.
How important is it to take a look at what we're doing for our contributions when it comes to retirement, IRAs and such?
So this is a great time of year to talk about this because it's tax time. Yep. So we are more in tune with our money than probably any other time of the year. So some of you may have already filed your taxes and gotten paid your fee or gotten your money back, or you may still be waiting until this year. Nationally, it's April 18th that you have to have it filed by. And locally, we are April 19th because of evacuation day in Boston. That sets the deadline a little bit later for us. So for people who are contributing to IRAs, you want to make sure that you have made your contribution for last year, 2021, before that tax filing deadline and before you file your taxes. So you want to look and say, okay, am I going to put it into a traditional IRA, which, you know, depending on how much you make, you'll be able to write off that. Or if you're going to put it into a Roth IRA. So just to clarify again, the difference between a traditional and a Roth. A traditional, you're going to take the tax deferment today, your money will go in and it will grow tax-free. But when you take it out, you will have to pay taxes, and that will be in retirement. If you do a Roth, and there's certain phase out limits, you can make too much money to contribute to a Roth. But if assuming you can contribute to the Roth, you're going to say, oh, I'm going to pay the taxes on this money now. It's going to grow tax free, and then it's going to come out tax free in retirement. Big, big deal. So you want to be doing everything you can to save towards retirement. Retirement is going to be a long period of time. And it's going to be expensive. And I think people forget it's that constant pull of the immediate gratification today for that long-term gratification, basically living and having enough money and staying independent for tomorrow. So taking advantage of any retirement plans that are offered through work, you want to be looking at that. You want to contribute, ideally, if you can contribute the max, that's terrific. And if you aren't contributing the max, you want to keep dialing it up each year. Dial it up another percent, dial it up another percent. So that's another thing you should be looking at. What's your contribution rate at the moment, and how can you keep increasing it? Oh, and while we're on this topic, Kevin, this is a great time of year to check your beneficiaries. Do you have named the people that you want to have named to basically inherit that money if you pass away? So, you know, if you're married, it would be your spouse, but you want to make sure you name contingencies, because what if something, that curveball comes and it affects both of you? So having your contingencies named is really important. You don't want to name minor children, but, you know, you can name, you know, other adults, people over 18, but check your beneficiaries. Are the people still living? You know, a lot of people will name a parent and then they went off and got married and like that parent doesn't make sense anymore. Or, you know, you named a sibling, you know, you named one sibling, but the other one was a minor, so you didn't name them. Is it time to name, you know, check and update both because everybody's of age? Great time of year to do this too.
It's interesting. You actually anticipated my segue because I wanted to jump into, I'm kind of ticking down the list, but I'm also like taking things out of order and trying to put them in a perspective way, and that is estate planning. Now, I've never heard of a file of life card. What is that?
Oh, yes, a file of life card is tremendous. So this, sadly, so working from home more often, one day I'm looking out and my neighbor's yard, I see the ambulance, the police car, the fire truck, and another emergency vehicle go down there. Turns out my neighbor passed away and he had been found deceased in his home. And there's no next of kin. And they're trying to figure out what do we do? Who do they contact? And there was no file of life card. So talking to the police officer, he's like, geez, we look for those file of life cards at any age. I often think of them as somebody older. So they're a red card. They come, one is has a magnet and you put it on your refrigerator. The smaller one is something you'd carry in your wallet. So emergency personnel are trained to look for the file of life card. On that card will have your contact information, who, you know, your medications, who your doctors are, who your next of kin are, phone numbers, all those important things. You know, some people will write, do not resuscitate across it. You know, that's usually people who are older or have some type of major illness and they know they do not want to be resuscitated. But so important. We actually just sent these out to all of our clients last week and have been getting emails back saying, thank you so much. You know, one woman in her mid-70s said, my father's always had one of these, but I never thought it applied to me. And we've sent them to our clients who are in their 20s. We sent them to the clients in their 90s. It is something everyone should have because, you know, you're driving a car and you have a seizure. You're 28 years old. The emergency personnel that gets there needs to know what's happening with you. They need to know if you took some medication or you didn't take some medication. Very, very important. I put that under the estate planning umbrella because you want to be prepared and buttoned up. This is letting people know, you know, your wishes, what's happening in your life, really important. And where you can get them, you can order them. There's I think it's fileoflife.org. It's online. Most fire departments will have them, and you could stop into your fire department and ask for one. Senior centers, they will accept anybody, young or old, to come in. They usually have them, and they would give them out as well. Very important. That's my new mission, is to make sure everybody's getting a file of life card and that they take action and fill it out. Really important.
Again, we're speaking with Paula Harris. She is with the WH Cornerstone Investment. Paula, we just have a couple of minutes. I can't believe the time has flown.
It has flown.
If there's anything that we haven't touched upon, but you feel is the final thing that we mentioned, because there were a couple of things we didn't talk about, insurance policies or organizing your documents, but also setting goals for the year ahead.
Yeah, I guess the most important, checking your insurance would be really important. Goals are always important, but making sure, do you have enough? Do you have an umbrella policy? You know, what has changed in your life? You know, as somebody ages, you might want to, you know, and maybe driving becomes a little sketchy when you have a new driver coming on or you have an older driver. You want to make sure you've got your collision numbers up high, because if there's an issue, you want to be able to, you know, get the best insurance for that. You want to make sure, you know, do you need to start thinking about long-term care? You know, as we, you know, how do you plan to take care of yourself in those later years? Insurance, life insurance, you know, do you still have a need for it? You know, maybe the kids are all grown and you don't need it. You know, we've come across clients with whole life policies, but with adult children, and there's just no need, you know, they're single at this point. There's no need for that policy, but they're paying $20,000 for it. You know, maybe you reposition assets in another way. So really important to look that you're properly insured across different categories, your home, your auto, your life, and your long-term care. Do you have the right health insurance? That's a big deal. Are you, you know, these companies, they deny a lot, you know, HMOs, you know, if you're in an HMO and you need some longer term care, you know, you've got a family member who needs to go into rehab. A lot of the rehab places won't take someone with an HMO. These are things you want to know ahead of time rather than find out at the last minute.
Paula, last question for you, and that is, yes. if folks have been enticed or have any questions in regards to any of this conversation that you and I have had, how can they reach out to you?
Sure. Very available. Our website is whcornerstone.com. Can reach out through there. They have a great system on there called Drift. You can ask a question. We're on Instagram and Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter. So you can follow us there to get great tips and learn more about what we're doing, or reach out to those channels as well. Or call the office. The number's right on our website. Happy to reach out. We want to make sure people get good information.
Well, Paula, again, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Kevin.
Okay, so we will now step aside. And coming up in just a couple of moments, more Monday Night Talk here on 95.9.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
With summer coming, it's time to enjoy alfresco dining at the Patio at McGuigan's. The Patio at McGuigan's serves up dishes like Koji steak tips, 14-ounce pork chops, and chicken masala. Have you heard about the Patio Sampler Platter? It's a dish worth driving to. And you can enjoy live entertainment every Friday and Saturday night at the Patio at McGuigan's. Patio at McGuigan's is at 552 Washington Street in Whitman Center. And check out McGuigan's Pub next door at 546 Washington Street.
Be a part of the show. Call and join in on the conversation. 781-837-4900. Now, back to Monday Night Talk. Find Monday Night Talk on Facebook and share your opinions. Go to 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk.
Joining us for this segment, this gentleman has written a book. The name of the book is called Inheriting Your Spouse's IRA. It's the widow's guide to keeping more of her assets. Joining us to talk about that and more during this nice, meaty half-hour segment is Bill Harris, who is with WH Cornerstone Investment. Bill, welcome to the conversation.
Thanks, Kevin. Great to be here today. And again, it's great to see you. I used to run into you all the time in public spaces, but that hasn't happened. So it's good to see you.
Yeah, it's kind of difficult dealing with COVID. What has it been like as someone who speaks to people about money management? Has it been easy, an easy transition to go from one-on-one with folks to being able to do it virtually?
Yeah, it's actually been, for us, pretty beneficial. For years, I can remember years ago I used to work at State Street Bank, and the first World Trade bombing thing, disaster recovery became a big issue, and so it's always been in the back of my mind. So we've been digital for quite some time. Unfortunately, it was difficult to get our clients to be digital, so getting you know, people to do Zoom meetings and all that stuff, they didn't want anything to do with it. What we found during the pandemic is when, you know, grandma couldn't talk to her grandkids anymore, she learned how to use Zoom and FaceTime real quick. And so it's been very helpful to us. Our meetings have been more condensed, more impactful, and, you know, we're interacting with people a lot more. So it's worked out well for us.
So the primary focus to our conversation is about a book you wrote. What made you want to write a book? And usually I have talked with a lot of authors, and I get different reasons. What's your reason for writing a book?
So, Kevin, unfortunately, the demographics for this situation is overwhelming. So we have 70-plus million baby boomers. The average age of widowhood, and it will vary dependent upon who you're talking to, is about age 59. So it's on the younger side. And that's an average. Obviously, there's older and there's younger. We're seeing it all the time. And what we're seeing often is, when someone comes into us and they weren't prepared, it's a terrible, terrible situation when you, like, sit down with them and you go through and you know, someone who's really close to retirement, and you tell them, like, you're not going to be retiring anytime soon. You're going to have to work a little bit longer. And so it's a tough, tough situation. So I think the message I want to give to people is preparedness. And it was, how do we get people prepared? So that was pretty much the genesis of the book. And again, the pandemic was a perfect backdrop for me. I had a lot more time on my hand. I wasn't commuting to work, and meetings were shorter and all that other stuff. So I had the time to do it. And so that's why it was written. And again, it's to impact as many people as possible as I could. I'm not a podcaster and a blogger and stuff like that. People have different ways to get their message out, but that's why I wrote the book. So go ahead, Kevin.
What I was going to say is what, you know, what was it like to pull the information together? Because everybody has a different method to be able to compile their information and then to try to put it in some kind of a chronological order, or in kind of an order as to how to follow certain procedures when it comes to something important like this.
Yeah, so Kevin, I'll kind of tell you a funny story. Our business, it's a husband and wife team. My wife Paula, she's been on with you as well. They call her a people person. They call me spreadsheet guy. I'm kind of technical, and so I would get up every day. I would write some stuff. I would look at texts, court rulings, private letter rulings, all that kind of stuff. And I drafted this manual that was extremely technical. I don't know if you're aware of things like Upwork and things like that. Basically, you hire freelance people to help you. I hired someone to help me edit, and I remember the lady calling me like, what are you trying to do? Who's your audience for this? And it was basically, we tore that one up and we started all over again. And so this book is designed for both advisors and the public to be able to sit down in an hour's time, probably less than an hour, and read that. Anyone who reads that is going to have more information than in the average advisor. So, and it should be pretty easy to read and pretty easy to understand.
You know, myself, I have an IRA, but my understanding is that these are not problems, but there are problems that are associated with IRAs, just as navigating them. I would wonder what it would be like if you are married to someone, you lose your spouse. I would wonder how much trouble there is in navigating those waters.
You know, in most cases, it should be okay. Again, when a widow comes to us, the first thing they usually ask, am I going to be okay? Am I going to have enough money? And where do I get that money? And depending upon the age of the person, because of the rules regarding IRAs, you got to be careful how you restructure that. But one of the things, that simple little things that everyone listening to this should think about doing is, do I have a named beneficiary? And I can tell you countless people don't. The court cases, tax court cases are just littered with people who never named a beneficiary, and they go to court over it. So just simply naming the beneficiary, if you're married, assuming it is your spouse, having that named and checking it regularly is one of the ways you can prepare and never have that happen. But we see with younger spouses, this is where we see a lot of mistakes happen. There's a provision, and it's only allowed for spouses, that they can roll it over to their own IRA. If they do that and they're younger, they've lost one of the benefits of inheriting an IRA, which means they could have taken money out tax-free, without paying a 10% penalty. And so they have to be careful about that age thing and pay attention to that. But again, name the beneficiaries. People get divorced. We've seen it all the time. They get divorced. They're remarried. They come in. Their old spouse is still listed as the beneficiary on the old IRA. It happens all the time. We just set up a 401k plan for our business, and my wife forgot to name a beneficiary on her own, and we're in the business, so it happens all the time. And again, so it's just constantly checking those things and making sure that they're named is one of the biggest things you can do.
Here in this country, I would imagine that it's kind of something that many people do, and that is to start an IRA, put away money for that day you want to stop working and start living, you know, your twilight years. What would you estimate that there are for monies tied up here in America as assets?
So I did a little prep before I came on with you. So I know it's about $25 trillion that's in IRAs. It's a huge number. It impacts everyone. The I think it's called the silent generation now. I mean, they had the pensions. You know, they got 80% of their pay for the rest of their life. No one has that anymore. So pretty much everyone has an IRA or someone related to someone that has an IRA. It's a universal event. Most people have one.
It's interesting you say that because I remember, my goodness, 30-some-odd years ago, you know, company that I was working for had introduced us to the 401k.
Yep.
You know, and back then, they were just kind of figuring out what to do. So it's interesting to hear you say that because I know my dad, somebody who retired, and he did. He top end of, you know, his industry, 80%, but he was the last of his kind to be able to have that. What are some of the stories that you hear yourself in regards to trying to attain as much of their deceased spouse's assets?
Can further, I don't know what you mean like that. Just some stories on how people weren't able to access it, or
just some examples so our viewers, our listeners, will understand that, you know, that you deal with people like this all the time, and you hear different stories, and you know, those stories can help others who are listening and watching understand why maybe it's a scenario that they're living, and they're like, oh, I don't want to be like that person.
Yeah, so if you look at the title of the book and I talk about inheriting her, I have the word her in there, and it's by design because, unfortunately, as men die sooner, it's a statistical fact.
Yeah.
And so we are often, there are widows and widowers, so it's not necessarily that way all the time, but mostly we're seeing the widow come in. And I'm going to give you two stories. One, it's in the book, it's titled You'll Be a Rich Woman. And so this gentleman and his spouse, she was always worried about the finances, and she kept asking questions. And he said, don't worry, when I die, you'll be a rich woman. And he kept saying it. Well, when he did die, and then this wasn't a client, this was shared to me by another advisor, he had a life insurance policy that was about $100,000. Now, he was making $100,000 a year, so he had basically 1 year for his wife. And so she wasn't a rich woman. She was very close to retirement. And again, she's still working because they didn't plan. So what I say to every spouse and every husband who's a man up, but you got to have this conversation. You got to know and you got to understand. And if you don't understand, hire someone that can help you. It's extremely important. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, is that where estate planning is critical?
It is critical, but again, IRAs are really a unique thing. They have a different set of rules. So often people will say, hey, I'm going to have my will be the beneficiary of my IRA. That causes all kinds of problems. It causes the IRA to be drained quicker than you'd like to. So again, there's a lot of special provisions, and you can read about them in the book for spouses. So IRAs are different, and a lot of attorneys don't know this unless they are specialized in estate planning. But yeah, it is part of the estate planning, but a lot of times it is the biggest asset a couple will have, and it often goes overlooked.
Again, if you're tuning in, we're speaking with Bill Harris. He's with WH Cornerstone Investment, and we're talking about the new book he wrote, which is called Inheriting Your Spouse's IRA, The Widow's Guide to Keeping More of Her Assets. And we're kind of ticking down a list of some of the things that are in the particular book. You mentioned naming beneficiaries. What else can you do to be prepared for this day?
You know, Kevin, I'm gonna label this. I'll call it the 30-day fire drill. Our lives are busy, and we have accounts all over the place. Some of them are digital, some of them are paper. But I think if everyone could, over the next 30 days, just like take every piece of mail that comes in, put it in a shoebox. If you get any e-bills, whatever, put those aside, and look back over those 30 days. And as a husband and a wife team, you don't want to be doing this when you become a widow. You want to do it way before. But look at those bills. Okay, we got a statement from the bank. How is it owned? Do we jointly own it? Is one person own it? If something happens to one of us, how are we going to access that? What are there any restrictions? And you need to do that by every account. One of the things that trips up a lot of widows is credit cards. Most of us have credit cards. There's a primary owner of the credit card. People don't realize this, but two people have the card. There's only one primary owner. When that person dies, if that other person keeps using that card, it's almost fraudulent. They don't know about it. But when the credit card company finds out about it, they will shut it off. And so widows often have time, especially I'm going to call it a traditional situation where the husband was working, the wife was a stay-at-home mom. She has no credit, no income. They're not going to give her a credit card. We're so accustomed to nowadays, you know, hey, let's go away. We go use an Airbnb and you got to use a credit card and all that kind of stuff. You go to the gas station, you're using it all the time. When that gets shut off, it creates a lot of problems. So again, I'm stressing that both couples make sure they develop credit. And again, go through that fire drill and know how you're going to be able to access funds.
What would you say are some of the important steps a widow needs to take to be more financially sound?
So again, we're assuming you're become a widow and not preparing pre-widowhood.
Right.
Yeah, and so it really is different on every case, Kevin, dependent upon the asset size they have and sophistication level. I mean, we've had widows come to us that never even balanced a checkbook before. That some of them have never even written a check before. So again, a lot of times it's just that learning and taking the baby steps of just figuring out, you know, what's my stuff and how do I access it? What does it mean? What are the tax impacts? And so I think just that education and knowing and having that confidence that you will get through this. Unfortunately, in widowhood, the first year we always talk about it, it's kind of like triage. And if you know from basic first aid, stop the bleeding. And so it's a terrible analogy, but it really makes the point. That first year, there's a lot of stuff going on. Your spouse may have had a golf membership. You may have belonged to a gym. Like you got to stop that hemorrhaging of money as quick as you can and then figure out, okay, how do we get control of the different assets we have and then roll it out. So the first year is kind of like a tactical, and then it's planning for the future. And so I think telling widows, like, you'll get through this. Listen, I don't ever want to – the emotional side of it is – I can't even address that. This is just the financial side of it. But being open to learning, reading, and again, I hate to say it, and I know I have a vested interest to say it, but hiring good advisors around you, and that means a good financial planner, that means a good estate planning attorney, and that means a good CPA as well.
It's a perfect time to you talk about being a financial advisor. How long have you been a financial advisor yourself?
So I started in this industry right out of college in 1989. So I'm dating myself. And so I worked on the institutional side of it. So I've been in the industry for a while, but I started this business, WH Cornerstone, in 1996. So it's about 25 years, which I'm feeling old, Kevin.
Now, what particular areas would you say you specialize in yourself?
Yeah, so we specialize in kind of, obviously, widows. That's why we're talking about it. But really, taking distributions from IRAs, they seem like this simple little thing. But again, when you start looking at the tax court cases, there's a lot of problems with them, and you better know how to operate them. So we really specialize on, you know, being able to take IRA distributions, what the rules are, setting up beneficiaries, and what the impact it is and how it impacts an estate as well.
Well, when you talk about, you know, in the title of the book, you know, keeping more of her assets or keeping more of the assets, you mentioned earlier about, you know, if you're not aware of certain accounts that, you know, you could end up hemorrhaging money. What are some of the, what could also happen to some of the assets? Could the government somehow play a role in losing some of those assets? What are some of the things to be aware of?
Well, I'm going to tell you two stories, Kevin. One, it was a second marriage situation, and husband and wife, and the guy said to his spouse, like, listen, you're going to get the condo and you're going to get these assets. She didn't know that he was giving a huge inheritance to his daughter. And I'm going to get a little technical, I don't mean to, but he owned those things, so it got thrown into his estate. He ended up, the daughter getting a huge amount of money, but the spouse ended up with a huge tax bill from an estate tax at Massachusetts level. So, again, just a crazy situation. I've also had a neighbor told me a story one time. They basically inherited an IRA, and they called one of the wirehouses or one of the discount brokers. I don't want to name names. And they said, hey, is there any estate tax with this IRA? Nope. So didn't ask any other questions, didn't elaborate. This income tax when you take money out of an IRA. So this person drained the IRA, did her kitchen over, and then about 4 years later, the IRS came and leaned her property because she didn't pay income tax on it. So again, people, a lot of times I think people think IRAs are tax-free or something like that. They're not. You owe income tax. So the person they called at the wirehouse answered the call properly, but they should have asked some more questions and elaborated. And again, I think sometimes knowing the questions to ask is as important as, you know, what the answers are.
Well, knowing that you're taking, you know, if you are going to borrow from your IRA or taking a loan from yourself, I think a part of the provision is that you have to pay yourself back, or you will suffer those penalties and fees, correct?
Yeah, so people call it, I cringe when I hear this. So, Kevin, you walked into it. There is a provision that when you take money out of an IRA, if you put it back within 60 days, it's okay. You don't have to pay any income tax on it. People, this is another thing that's in the tax courts all the time. People forget to put the money back in. And then they put it in 61 days later or something crazy like that. You want to be real careful with an IRA. A 401k that you have at work usually has a loan provision. It's perfectly, you know, easy to do the loan. It's less of an issue. An IRA, you better be real careful if you do that.
And we are talking with Bill Harris. If you're just tuning in, talking to Bill Harris, he is with the WH Cornerstone Investment, I should say, he is the founder of WH Cornerstone Investment. I'm talking about his new book, Inheriting Your Spouse's IRA, The Widower's Guide to Keeping More of Her Assets. Kind of looking at some of your information, and I should have asked you this when I had asked you about how long you've been a financial advisor. Your credentials, next to your name, it says CFP and RMA. Well, what exactly do those mean? Is that like you're a doctor of finances?
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far. yes, I am. listen, I say this to the general public. I'm obviously a CFP. I feel like that's the bare minimum gold standard. Like, if you're dealing with an advisor, make sure they have that credential. Again, it's a lot of schooling. You got to be a college graduate. That's the baseline to even be a financial planner if they don't have that. Tell you an interesting story. Have you ever seen the movie Catch Me If You Can, Leonardo DiCaprio?
Love that movie.
Right. So if you read the book's even better than the movie, but he starts to realize if he looks important, people will treat him differently. So that's why he starts donning the pilot's uniform and all that kind of stuff. Well, in our industry, credentials, really, people like pay notice to them. And you want to be careful of what they are. A lot of companies create, I'll call them fake credentials, so their advisors will have three letters after their name. You want to understand what these credentials are. So again, in my belief, the CFP is the bare minimum. It's the gold standard, but it's a base level. You want some more designations after that. So I have what's called an RMA, which is a retirement management advisor. So we focus in the area in the retirement age group. So we spend a lot of time. And again, it's more study, more tests, continuing ed. Both of them have continuing ed. There's other credentials out there that are great. Like there's what's called a CFA, which is Certified Financial Analyst, another gold standard credential. But those are the people who do more money management and less planning. If you're going to be doing planning, it's a CFP.
Okay. I got to ask you this as we're wrapping up our conversation. I mean, we still got a few more minutes here. But now that you know that you got what was it like to finally hold the book in your hands and have all that information compiled into something that you could share with other people and educate them?
Kevin, it was a great feeling. So again, I talked about, you know, I wrote the book, I went to an editor, she's like, what are you doing? We got to rewrite this. And so actually writing it and putting together wasn't too bad. I do write a column in the newspaper and I write for some national press as well. So I actually like to write. So that wasn't an issue. Dealing with editors and repositioning and all that kind of stuff and layouts, that was kind of tough. But when you actually get the physical copy, it's a great feeling. So the company that published it for me, they send you 10 copies and they wrap it up. It really was a nice feeling. I got a box of them in my car. We have a box of them in the office. And again, our mission is really to get people prepared. I'm joking, but I'm going to go out front and start handing them to the cars going by, you know, on the street. Like, I want people to have this information. And again, I don't think a lot of advisors know this information. So the book was designed to be a quick read and to give you some general knowledge in that space. Great feeling when you get the book.
So other than, you know, driving by your home somewhere here on the South Shore, is there a place anywhere that they can get it? Can they go to Amazon? Can they go to your website and buy? How can they get your book?
Yeah, Kevin, so getting the physical copy of the book is exciting. Googling yourself on Amazon and having the book pop up is even more exciting. So for me anyways. So you can go to Amazon. Again, you can put the title of the book. You can put my name. It will pop right up. Don't ask me what the price is. There's obviously you can get the hard copy or you can get the Kindle version. So if you do want a physical book, you can go there and get it. Call me. I'll mail it to you as well. But you can go right to my website, WH Cornerstone, and download a PDF of it at any time you want.
Okay. Anything that we haven't touched upon in regards to this book or you that you might want to take a few moments to share with the folks who are checking out this segment?
No, again, Kevin, the message, I'm going to keep banging the drum. It's about preparedness. When you become a widow, oftentimes it's like there's no more planning. You got to deal with it. And so the more and more we can get couples to kind of talk about this and get prepared. And Kevin, man to man, we both think we're going to live forever. And unfortunately, it's not the case. So you got to have that conversation and you got to be prepared. If you don't know how to do it, hire someone to help you, and at a minimum, just check your beneficiaries on a regular basis. I can't tell you how many horror stories of people who just didn't check it, and you know, it ends up being disastrous.
Is there, you know, it's almost like when you go in for your annual checkup with your doctor to make sure that, you know, you have no major physical issues. Should this be something that's similar as well for us? We do something annually to check where our finances are when it comes to our IRAs or our savings?
Absolutely. So, Kevin, when a new client, so first of all, I have there's two advisors in my business. We have an administration person, and then we have a summer intern. They are all drilled to dot the I's and cross the T's. And that's one of the things that we go over them with all the time. Like, do they have beneficiaries? Are they a joint account? Are there named beneficiaries on those accounts? People don't realize, like, your bank accounts and things like that. You can name beneficiaries, and they will pass by way of contract to who you want. But a lot of people just don't do it. So we drill, and we go over it. I mean, we recently had a guy in his late 80s come in. He was a widower. He had remarried. They were both pretty affluent. And he had his deceased spouse still listed as the beneficiary on his IRA, and it was substantial. And again, we said, hey, your new wife and your kids are going to have a hell of a battle when you die if you don't change that quick. And he wanted his assets to go to his kids. So again, we see this on a regular basis, and it just, yeah, I always say change, you know, in the fall, I think it was Duracell that came up with a change your clock, change your batteries when the time change happens in the fall. It's the same thing. Change your clock, change your batteries, check your beneficiaries.
Well, I want to thank you again for joining us, and I'd love to have you on a regular basis, and maybe I kind of hope that maybe you might develop some kind of a program, whether you do a regular blog or maybe you do a regular podcast. Do you do anything like that yet?
So I do have a blog. You can go to our website and get it. So that is pretty regular. I'd love to work with you on something on a more regular basis. That would be a lot of fun. So, and again, Kevin, we don't always have to talk about finances. I know I interacted with you on Facebook on Cobra Kai, so the Karate Kid saga. So there's other things we can talk about as well.
Well, that's another show in itself, because I was excited after watching the second season I was kind of a bit down. I mean, there were a couple of surprises in. I don't want to be a spoiler here. There were a couple of surprises that I was okay with in season three, but I'm hoping there's a rebound in season four. We'll talk. Another show, I promise.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Here he is. So Bill Harris joining us from WH Cornerstone Investment as our guest. Thank you again, Bill.
Thanks, Kevin. I appreciate being on. I'd love to do it again.
And unfortunately, that's all the time that we have this evening. We want to thank all of our guests, and we want to thank our listeners, too, for tuning in. And we'll be back next week at the same time, 6:15 p.m. Until then, have a good night.